It is never a good idea to scorn a woman. You can never predict the consequences.
You want to go to a Christian camp?
A mother makes her son's attacker pay.
And I think all her protective instincts kicked in to eliminate the threat.
Tell me what happened.
A respected headmistress acts like a lovesick teen.
Why didn't you take my calls?
She felt dependent on him, like she couldn't survive without him.
I'm going to India.
And a jilted lover turns on an innocent.
A little boy who thought of her as his auntie.
Jumpy.
She wanted what she wanted. Only a psychopath could do that.
These deadly women love with all their heart. But cross them, and they will seek vengeance. In the small mining town of Sonora, California.
Did you brush your teeth?
36-year-old, single mom, Ellie Nessler, supports her family as best she can.
She never had any real high-paying employment. She did have periods of time when she was on welfare, but just had various kinds of jobs.
And Mommy's going next door for a while, okay? You stay put.
By day, a caring mother.
No slithering out of bed.
Her family portrayed her as a very loving mother, a very engaged mother.
At night, a wilder Ellie emerges.
She left her children a lot. She was involved with the biker community.
There were one and one of these, no doubt.
She was a methamphetamine, dare I say, an abuser.
Come on.
Yay. Ellie had a drug problem most of her adult life, if not all of her adult life.
And so there, she was in a bikini.
Ellie Nessler is not the only one in town with secrets.
Well, your resume looks good, Daniel.
31-year-old Daniel Driver is looking for work as a kitchen hand at a Christian summer camp for kids.
Is that the good book?
Sure is. I take it with me everywhere.
Well, that's great.
Daniel impresses with his knowledge of the Bible.
Haven't worked in a couple months, though, huh?
Oh, I've been away.
But his resume is missing one crucial fact. Daniel has just got out of jail.
He was convicted of child molestation.
So are you good with kids?
Oh, I love kids.
Great. Well, this all looks great.
He was in jail for 3 months, and then he was on probation for a period of time.
Let's do this. You're hired. Fantastic. Thanks. Here, let me just show you around. Okay, he's coming this way.
Ellie wants the best for her 7-year-old son, Willie.
Hey, Mom, look at this.
You want to go to a Christian camp? Would you come back a little angel?
It's a promise.
Really, promise?
In 1988, she decides to let him go to the camp.
Hi there. You must be Willie. I'm camp leader Steve.
For a predator, it's a perfect hunting ground.
Have a good time.
People thought he was just a normal, kind of good person.
He's gonna have a great time. He's in great hands. Thank you.
Pedophiles will do anything to get to a child. Nothing will get between them and their target.
Bye, Willie.
Nothing.
Hey, boys. Where two or three?
Under the guise of a religious man, Daniel shares his love of the Bible.
Hey, Will. There's something I want to show you.
What is it?
It's a surprise.
Can we see?
No, I gotta show Willie first. Maybe later.
Every decision a child molester makes about his life,
I wonder what it is,
is for the purpose of getting access to potential victims.
Seven-year-old Willie becomes Daniel's next victim. It's a brutal attack.
I've dealt with a number of victims who have been molested. It is a very traumatic thing.
The little boy is paralyzed with fear.
You tell anyone, I will kill you and your family.
The psychological, emotional, and behavioral damage that a child rape victim suffers is profound and can have lasting effects on the victim.
Willie keeps the assault a secret. But the emotional pain surfaces in his sleep. He has nightmares.
Please, Mom, can you stay?
Many child rape victims that are unable to disclose what happened can feel anxiety and depression.
Willie suffers in silence for a year. But soon he will face his demons and turn Ellie's world upside down.
Any parent would be very upset upon finding out that their child was raped.
In the faded gold rush town of Sonora, California.
Willie, can you tell me what happened?
37-year-old single mom Ellie Nessler is dealing with one of life's horrors.
Willie, can you tell me what happened?
He did nasty things to me.
Her young son, Willie, has been sexually assaulted.
Ellie said it had really traumatized him and that he wasn't responding to counseling. She claimed that this was going to ruin him for life.
You're gonna go with this officer?
Let's go see the choice.
Ellie learns her son isn't Daniel's only victim at the summer camp.
How many?
Another three boys have come forward.
Four young boys are abused. Police issue a warrant for Daniel Driver's arrest.
The problem was, is by then, Daniel Driver had been fired from working at the camp, and he had actually left the area, and so nobody knew where he was.
For 3 years, Daniel escapes the police dragnet. Until officers in a nearby county arrest him for petty theft and discover he is a wanted man.
There was a warrant for his arrest out of Tuolumne County for the molestation of the boys. He was then transferred back.
Yeah.
The trial is set for April 2nd, 1993, in the small city of Jamestown, California. With no official courtroom, justice is served in the community hall.
In handcuffs comes Driver. He gives this arrogant, you know, look, a symbolic kind of stare.
She interpreted that, as did others, that he was smirking at them.
Waiting in the hall kitchen, things only get worse when another victim returns from the courtroom.
What she meant was it was very hard on her son to have to testify. Ellie interpreted that as, oh, we're not going to hold this guy to answer. We're not going to be able to get him to trial.
Ellie thinks her son's attacker could walk free.
You went here, okay?
She won't let that happen. And makes a life-altering decision.
She went out to the car. She came back with the gun.
She walked about 30 or 40 feet.
Shot him multiple times.
Five of the bullets going into his head. And she just dropped the gun. She had done what she was going to do, and she was immediately arrested.
Ellie was motivated to kill Daniel Driver out of a sense of revenge. You hurt my son. You damaged my son. Now you're gonna pay. She was a woman on a mission, a mother on a mission. She killed the bad guy.
In 1993, Ellie Nessler is found guilty of voluntary manslaughter and sentenced to 10 years in prison. Then, 3 years later, it is overturned due to jury misconduct, and she is set free. But it's not long before Ellie is back in prison for trafficking drugs.
She was found with 10,000 pseudoephedrine pills that she possessed for sale. She was convicted of that, and she was sent back to state prison.
Willie's left to grow up without a mother. But the seed doesn't fall far from the tree. At the age of 23, he settles a dispute with a neighbor by taking the law into his own hands.
He beat that man to death with a pipe. He got convicted of first-degree murder, and he, Willie, is currently in prison on a 25-year-to-life sentence for murder.
Just as Ellie leaves prison for drug dealing, her son enters it for murder. The two are never together again. In December 2008, Ellie dies from breast cancer.
She killed her son's child molester. And a lot of people saw her as a hero. But we can't have people running around with guns acting as judge and jury. And that's what Ellie did.
It's dangerous to pin all your hopes on one man.
It's only been 2 weeks, Jim.
But it's something she was willing to do because she loved him.
You're casting me aside.
You can be let down.
Tears would frequently roll down her face.
And you can snap.
You bastard!
He created a monster, and the monster turned on him.
December 1966. Purchase, New York. 42-year-old divorcee Jean Harris does what many women have done before her. She falls for Dr. Herman Tarnauer.
He's a notorious womanizer. Is that what he's famous for?
Herman Tarnauer was one of the foremost cardiologists in the country.
One of the best.
He started a group called the Scarsdale Medical Group, which is very, very successful.
Herman will go on to create the Scarsdale Diet. But first, he has some womanizing to do.
He was quite a charming individual. He could walk into a room and he was the magnet for all the women in the room. So he had that kind of a personality and charisma about him.
So why haven't I been introduced to you?
I don't know. I know all about you.
Jean is the headmistress of an exclusive girls' school.
Give me a chance to set the record straight.
And the two make an impressive couple.
Tell me.
I'm a humble man. And a lover of fine wines.
He made her feel very, very special. He just swept her right off her feet.
That one's for China.
It's beautiful.
An exotic world opens up to Jean.
Maybe we could find one like that for you. When we go to the Orient.
She becomes the good doctor's new travel companion.
Jean and the doctor would travel around the world.
There's just one catch.
Where's he taking you?
I don't know. Somewhere exciting.
He's so romantic.
He was a lifelong bachelor. He liked, apparently, the single life. This was who he was.
Hello, darling.
The headmistress will not be Dr. Tarnauer's only love.
Okay. Next weekend. Bye.
He made it pretty clear to Jean. Yes, they could continue to have a relationship. But to do so, she would have to turn a blind eye to the other women.
Get out.
It's hard to describe a bigger slight than that.
Jean puts up with Herman's infidelity for 5 years.
What is it, Jean? What's the problem?
I'm snacking at the girls at school.
By 1971, it takes an emotional toll.
I can't eat.
But the source of her depression may have a cure.
I can't concentrate.
Not a marriage proposal, but amphetamines.
What is this?
That's oxen, some people would call it an upper, but it's known to the public as speed.
Take it.
He set her up to use these drugs, which she used for more than 10 years.
It'll make you feel better.
For close to a decade, the drugs placate Jean.
It's only been 2 weeks, Jean. Now, you remember our little arrangement.
But her addiction is making her more unstable and less tolerant of the doctor's womanizing.
She saw, you know, a lot of little personal belongings, and she was furious. She tried to get rid of all of it. Tarnauer was very annoyed with her for doing that, and he said, "You're banished. You can't see me for weeks." Jean was distraught.
We'll see how you're going in 2 weeks.
Sorry, Doctor. There's an urgent call.
Thanks, Mrs. Williams.
Thank you, Doctor.
Jean plagues Herman with phone calls.
She's rung 5 times.
But he is no longer interested.
Listen to me, Jean. This has got to stop.
The woman now by his side, day and night, is his young assistant.
I've been getting calls too.
It was humiliating. Here was this younger, blonder, prettier woman taking her place in Tarnauer's affections.
Did you lock the door?
Jean was independent and capable, intelligent, and had her own money. None of that mattered. She was desperately in love with Herman Tarnauer, and he didn't want her anymore.
But soon, Jean will make sure she never shares Herman again. 1979. Purchase, New York.
I've been number one for a year now. How does it feel?
Dr. Herman Tarnauer is the successful author of The Scarsdale Diet.
It raised his stature because now he was the number one New York Times best-selling author.
He is making millions from his book and has a new lover.
How about we do one with my assistant?
Yeah, his young assistant. It is too much for his lover of the past 10 years. Jean Harris.
Well, tell him I called and I'll be calling again.
It tore her to pieces. She felt dependent on him, like she couldn't survive without him. Then she'd turn around and feel resentful.
Jean's erratic behavior gets worse when she runs out of her medication.
Jean was in a really bad place. She was anxious, she was nervous.
She's been hooked on amphetamines for a decade. The withdrawal symptoms are severe.
Why didn't you take my calls?
I told you not to call me in the office.
The most common byproduct of amphetamine withdrawal is a severe depression.
You're casting me aside.
The individual can feel at times very, very desperate.
I've got a patient.
I'm coming over.
Suit yourself.
Jean came up with a solution. She would go to Tarnauer's home. She would confront him, and then she would kill herself.
late in the night of March 10th, 1980. Jean prepares to end it all in front of her lover.
When she got there,
Jean, you're crazy.
She found negligee.
You bastard!
And hair curlers, which, in a peek, she threw out.
Tarnauer hit her. And that's when things really got ugly.
The bullet passed between his thumb and first finger.
Look what you've done!
Dr. Tarnauer tried to call for help. And she shoots.
It's not Jean's life that ends tonight.
He created a monster, and the monster turned on him.
Jean admits to shooting the doctor, but says it happens accidentally when he tries to stop her from committing suicide.
That still didn't explain the four shots found in Tarnauer's body.
The entire case boiled down to whether or not there was intent on the part of Mrs. Harris. That's really what the jury had to decide.
The bald facts of the case work against Jean.
She put five rounds in a six-round cylinder, and she brought extra bullets with her. None of those bullets went in her head or her heart.
In 1981, the jury decides it's second-degree murder. Jean Harris is sentenced to 15 years.
She got all caught up in the love of a man and used it to distort her whole thinking process and sow the seeds of her own destruction.
A combination of amphetamine withdrawal and obsessive love killed the author of the Scarsdale Diet. That his murderer is a respected headmistress makes it all the more shocking.
I learned from this case that the perception of the strength in other people is often a mask that is hiding serious emotional problems.
Jean Harris was not dangerous to anyone except Hermann Tarnauer. And she got him.
First love can be all-consuming.
Amina couldn't live without Vijay. He was everything to her.
I'm going to India.
What?
And being dumped.
She was furious.
Can drive a girl crazy.
She was clearly striking back at the man who jilted her.
1980, Toronto, Canada. Life for 18-year-old beauty, Amina Chaudhary, is full of new and exciting ventures.
Where do you think you're going? Do a nightclub with friends.
Amina was a very attractive girl.
Better make sure you're back by 11. No later.
Yes, Father.
She enjoyed going out dancing and visiting all the hot spots in Toronto.
You can't let her go out dressed like that.
Amina's Western ways concern her brother.
You trust her.
He thinks she has too much freedom.
She's too young to be going out alone.
I'm 18 years old.
Amina's family were Sikhs, and their religion was very important to them. In fact, their whole lives revolved around their religion and their tradition.
She will bring shame to this family.
For this traditional Sikh family, their daughter's future must be with someone of their own faith. In early 1980, she meets 19-year-old, Indian-born, Vijay Gupta. The two have a lot in common, but not their religion.
BJ was a Hindu, and this was dangerous in this family because the Sikhs and the Hindus were at odds with each other. And yet, these two fell in love.
Did anyone see you?
No.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Their relationship was doomed from the beginning because of the religious differences.
It was a bit like a Romeo and Juliet kind of thing, where these families did not want these young people to be together.
This is a story as old as time.
Amina's father has a solution to end the affair.
You will be back by 5 because he'll be here.
I won't marry him.
An arranged marriage.
I won't do it. I won't. He's too old.
Amina!
Free-spirited Amina disobeys her family's wishes. Her defiance angers her brother.
Her relationship with BJ was shaming the family.
No, give it to me.
You will not see him again.
Try to stop me.
Amina's brother became so enraged, he was so against it, that he actually stabbed her in her left arm all the way through to her chest, injuring her extremely badly.
In his mind, in that culture, he was entitled to save the family's honor.
Amina's will is broken. She agrees to the arranged marriage.
Amina was married off to a 40-year-old man who was also a Sikh. This is what the family wanted. They assumed that would stop her from seeing Vijay.
But the marriage doesn't quell Amina's desire to be with Vijay. Their love affair continues.
She wasn't giving up Vijay. He was everything to her.
The affair is a secret, but they feel safe to be around Vijay's young nephew, 8-year-old Rajesh Gupta.
He's like my brother. I trust him.
He called her auntie because he had seen her on several occasions and had been introduced to her by Vijay.
The little boy and Vijay share a special bond.
Rajesh was very fond and very close to his uncle, who was really as much like a brother to him, I think, as an uncle.
We can wait until next week.
But the affair is put on hold when Vijay says he is going to India to visit family.
I'm going to India.
What?
My family.
Your family what?
The timing couldn't be worse. Amina is pregnant and thinks Vijay is the father. For the moment, it is Amina's secret. She'll wait for Vijay's return.
It was a recipe for disaster.
In 1981, Toronto, 19-year-old Indian-born Amina Chaudhary claims she is pregnant by her illicit lover, Vijay Gupta.
Anyone see you?
No.
She is longing for him to return from India to tell him the news. Amina thinks Vijay is visiting his family.
Hello?
Hi, Amina.
But she is wrong.
What do you mean he got married?
Vijay went off to India for a month, and he actually ended up getting married there. It was an arranged marriage.
No, he didn't.
Amina felt horribly betrayed. Never mind that she was married to someone else. That didn't matter.
No!
She was furious.
On February 3rd, 1982, Vijay's favorite little nephew, 8-year-old Rajesh Gupta, leaves home for school.
It was cold. It had been snowing, and Rajesh was all bundled up. He had a scarf on, he had gloves on, he had a hoodie sweatshirt to keep warm.
He is pleased to see a familiar face.
Hi, Rajesh.
She rolled down her window and said, come on into my warm car and I'll give you a ride.
And he wouldn't have thought anything of it. She was a trusted adult, a familiar face in his small 8-year-old world, and he went with her willingly.
I just need to pick something from my apartment, okay?
Vijay breaks Amina's heart. Now, she wants to break his.
She wanted to do something to him that would hurt him so very deeply and yet still keep him close to her.
It's a surprise.
The trusting boy has no idea what lies behind Amina's smile.
She struck him on the head with a blunt instrument. She then took the drawstrings from his hood of his jacket and strangled him to death.
Amina murdered her lover's nephew out of revenge. Period.
A callous act committed against a defenseless boy.
By all accounts, this was a wonderful little kid. His father said he was bright in school, he was full of energy, he was kind, he was just a terrific little boy.
What 8-year-olds are indisputably is innocent. They have never offended anybody in a great manner. So they never deserve the kind of fate that Rajesh suffered.
Amina dumps the body in a symbolic place, her secret meeting spot with Vijay.
I don't think Amina took any pleasure in killing Rajesh. It was a means to an end. The purpose was to hurt Vijay.
By late afternoon, a little boy lost is found.
When the police gathered around, they assumed that it had been a hit and run because there was motor oil on the jacket. When they took a closer look at the body, they noticed an indentation around the child's neck that indicated that he had been strangled by a cord of some kind.
News of the murder devastates Vijay. He returns to Canada without his new wife.
And when he got there, he was met by Amina, and immediately the two of them started up their relationship.
For Amina, their reunion isn't about sex. She wants to see Vijay's hurt when she tells him the truth about Rajesh's murder.
She said, I did it, but they'll never be able to prove it.
Destroyed by her confession, Vijay goes to the police. Amina denies everything, but her story keeps changing.
She says at first that she was at work, then she begins to even cast suspicion towards her husband. She was clearly telling different stories.
The breakthrough for police is found in Amina's car. She has left a trail of forensic evidence.
They recovered glass fragments, some yellow paint chips, and there were also these fibers that were from the scarf that he had worn on his neck.
In the end, police tie Rajesh and Chaudhary together and put him in her car.
Amina Chaudhary is convicted of first-degree murder. In February 1984, she is sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 25 years.
Amina killed to get Vijay's attention and to hurt him. Only a psychopath could do that. And I think Amina is very narcissistic. She wanted what she wanted.
Behind bars, Amina doesn't wither. She blooms.
The postscript to this story is as unbelievable as the crime. Amina was able to meet another prisoner at a prison function. He was a convicted murderer. She was a convicted murderer. And the two of them were allowed not only to get married, but they were able to have three children together.
But the child killer doesn't get near her own children. They are protected by welfare services.
This was a woman who killed a child who was now having children behind bars. I think that was astonishing.
Amina Chaudhary is released from prison in 2012. When these deadly women lashed out, it was lethal. Ellie Nessler protected her son by being judge and jury. Jean Harris loved her man to death. And Amina Chaudhary killed a child to teach her lover a lesson. These deadly women allowed their emotions to rule. They dished out vengeance.